Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the senior editorial writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Glenn Cook, joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Helen Foley and Warren Hardy. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Glenn Cook. He is now the senior editorial page writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Good to be back. Good to see you again, face-to-face, Sam.
Exactly. Let's talk about the legislative session. You did not think a whole lot got done there.
Well, and I also don't think that that was necessarily a terrible thing. I mean, I'd prefer to see some movement on some of the money-saving government reforms that Nevada has long needed and that the Republican caucus, the minority Republican caucus, tried to get some traction on. Prevailing wage reform, which is an issue the Review-Journal has been writing about for more than a decade. Pension reform, the state's unfunded liabilities are well documented. Collective bargaining reforms. No movement on these issues, and regrettably, no movement on education reform either. But at the same time, if the goal of seeing a legislature do no significant harm to the state, I think in that regard, the policies that did make it through the legislature and onto the governor's desk, and the ones that he has signed so far, I think fit that bill. We've not seen any particularly destructive policies. Although I would make the case that the NV Energy bill is going to punish a lot of people very soon.
Okay, let's get to that in a minute, because that obviously is a big topic we want to talk about here. But on all the issues that you raised, and then looking at the demographics of the voters in the state of Nevada, you know, what is it going to take for those issues to ever become relevant to the point of being passed? I mean, the Democrats are just not going to give up. I mean, I interviewed every major Democratic figure at the legislature, and they all said, almost in one voice, nobody's talking to us about those issues.
Right. But the people are, the business community especially, is talking to the Republican caucus about these issues. And as long as the Constitution has its voter-approved two-thirds supermajority requirement for tax increases, the Democrats are going to need to pick up Republican votes to get the new spending money that they want. And I had a slight shred of optimism that Democrats would, in advance of this session, were going to realize that they would need to bargain with Republicans if that was what they wanted. If they wanted an immediate tax increase, the votes were there, but Republicans expected something in return. They weren't going to simply be browbeaten into voting yes and overriding a veto by Governor Sandoval. But Democrats were not willing to bring them into negotiations. And really, I think the defining moment of this session as it relates to taxes and those reforms was when the state Supreme Court announced that the margins tax initiative was valid. Its placement on the 2014 ballot was effectively a compromise killer. There was no reason for Democrats to yield on these issues when they have the possibility in a year and a half of voters giving them all that new money without them having to give those reforms in return.
Were you surprised that Speaker Kirkpatrick was not able to advance the broadening of the entertainment tax? Because it seemed like she was heading down the right path, had done so much work on that.
Yes, and I think her downfall was just in first failing to involve Pat Hickey in the process of her drafting these changes. You know, he told me on multiple occasions that Pat Hickey did everything but put on a sandwich board and walk around the legislative building saying, "We'll raise taxes in exchange for money-saving government reforms." He told anyone who would listen that he was open to that, but she did not bring him into that process, and look what happened. In the end, she introduced it far too late, and when she introduced it, it was patently offensive to members of her own caucus. The idea of working families paying taxes to go bowling or to go to the movie theaters was struck them as incredibly regressive. So, those were the mistakes on her part, I believe.
And it's interesting because does that say something to somebody who is much vaunted as a policy person that you get too much involved in the policy and you're not dealing with the realities of what people have to go back to and face the voters with?
I think that's a possibility. You know, it was her first session as Speaker, and as you and I both know, she didn't expect to be Speaker when she was running her campaign. She expected to remain that policy person, that policy deputy, and when Marcus Conklin lost last year to Wes Duncan, all of a sudden she was the surprise Speaker. I believe she's a very good legislator. I think she's probably would admit to learning quite a bit about what it takes to be in that kind of leadership role, and perhaps things will be different in 2015.
And what about the way the session shut down? I mean, that was crazy.
It was embarrassing. I think it was embarrassing to a lot of lawmakers. There's just terrible time management skills, terrible prioritization. I couldn't believe they spent the better part of the last day on the background check bill, which they knew the governor was going to veto, but yet they could not get under the wire the More Cops sales tax increase for down here in Southern Nevada when they knew the governor would sign that bill. It was inexcusable.
All right, let's take a break. More with Glenn Cook when we come back.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Nevada's Hometown Rodeo.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Glenn Cook, who is now the senior editorial page writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Senator Townsend was on the program last week, and he was talking about the nightmare of the end of the session. And he looked at it from a term limits perspective and said, we need to change the way that we're doing things. We need to have the Assembly be four-year terms. We need to have the Senate be six-year terms. And that way, you know, people can have a year to be able to figure out what's going on before they actually get to the session and can learn what needs to be done in terms of procedures and what the real issues are. That in a 120-day session, when you've just come off of an election, you have zero time to prepare yourself. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that good luck getting that constitutional amendment through the electorate. I'm not sure they would go for that. Look, I don't deny that term limits has brought an awful lot of turnover into the legislature in the past few years, but
like 100%.
But I still think that there's things the legislators can do themselves to make the job easier on them, and what we see is consistently is poor prioritization. I think we have too many committees. There's no reason to give every single member of the Democratic majority in the Senate a committee. You should be able to cut down the number of committees and narrow the number of bills that get through. You need better leadership from those committee chairs to look at certain bills and know what has a chance of passing, what doesn't, what might have the votes, what doesn't have the votes, and simply manage that 120-day clock a lot better. If they do that, things could potentially go a lot more smoothly. But what you have instead are a lot of competing egos, a lot of people up there who want to bring forward bills as political hammers rather than policy that actually has a chance to get signed into law by the governor. And the end result is the way the sessions usually end, with a lot of panic and a lot of dashing around trying to get things through under the wire.
But isn't that the way of politics, that, you know, the negotiations are always going to be in the last few days, the real negotiations? We don't go down to cover the legislature until the session is 2 months in, because there's nothing to cover in the first 2 months. You know, there's cookie day and the other, you know, special
sure.
events that happen. And even at the end of this session, when the clock was running out, the lieutenant governor was being lauded, Barbara Sagaski was being lauded. That was time that could have been spent on, you know, perhaps not having to go to a special session.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more on how they managed that clock. And look, it's one thing if you're coming down to the wire, you know, just trying to pass a budget because of, you know, let's say for, take the 2011 session, you had that incredibly late Supreme Court decision that wiped out the governor's plan to, you know, shift monies all over the place, and they had to extend the sunsets. That required significant rewriting. They managed to get that done. The most important work, the budget, was essentially done. All these bills that were left, what horse trading was there to be done on the more cops bill? There was none. It was simply, I really believe, a case of them just forgetting it was there.
Well, and part of it was that as we said earlier, they didn't understand the procedure. Bills were being literally run by people from one house to the other. I mean, it was just a crazy scene. Mary Lau was on the program a couple of weeks ago, right after the session, said she'd never seen anything like it. And Mary is a veteran of these kind of things. One of the other issues that Senator Townsend talked about was how different it would have been if folks like he had still been in the legislature with this NB Energy bill, and how late in the session this really got worked on. Obviously, you have thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, look, the NV Energy bill, you know, NV Energy has a small army of lobbyists, very well-connected people who have connections to the governor and people in the legislature itself.
The United States Senate.
So it was a very insider-driven process, considering the original draft of the bill, which, you know, NV Energy wrote the bill, was, you know, a bit of a surprise. You could tell lawmakers were taken aback. They didn't know this thing was coming, and yet they found a way to get this thing through, you know, with overwhelming support. I can't believe that for all the gnashing of teeth and hyperventilating they are over tax increases and tax policy, which is justified, how everyone can be pay such attention to detail over taxes and the burdens that those place on individual people, but just be so wildly supportive of a measure that is effectively a tax increase on every person and business in the state. Your power bill is going to go up. It's going to hit every single person. It's going to pinch us all. So why doesn't that get the same kind of scrutiny as a tax increase? I never got that. I don't believe that the environmental benefits in this bill were an adequate trade-off for the types of costs that Nevadans are going to incur as a result of this legislation.
And isn't part of the problem that we have a citizen legislature? And again, that you've lost the people who were the experts on energy issues. I mean, Randolph Townsend was responsible for bringing Walt Higgins back to NV Energy when they were in financial crisis and literally saved the company after the whole Enron disaster. You don't have those people around anymore. They're all gone. That institutional knowledge is no longer there.
Well, you would think the loss of institutional knowledge and people who have this depth of knowledge and these connections and relationships with people, that to me is an argument, you know, for greater turnover. The lobbyists were the one who complained, oh, we've lost all this depth of knowledge. Well, you'd think that the new blood being come in would be more skeptical of a bill like this. They would say, well, maybe I don't understand this well enough, so why would I vote for something like this? But instead, the opposite is true. They really got steered and pulled around, and they did a brilliant job of getting almost unanimous support for this thing.
But it doesn't hurt when you have both Senator Reid and the governor both aligning on this issue.
No, I mean, it was almost a slam dunk the moment it came in. I mean, we ran editorial urging the governor to veto the bill once it was clear the fix was in, so to speak. But it's signed. It's state law. You're not going to pay more, Sam. Get ready.
I'm ready. And of course, we were going to pay more anyway. I mean, that was going to be a fact of life. It's just going to be a little bit higher.
And sooner.
Right. Yep. But the other part of this is that obviously the Warren Buffett company that purchased NV Energy or is in the process of purchasing NV Energy, that was in the mix all along. That didn't just pop up overnight.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I mean, that story is still to be told.
Yes, I think so.
And that's where we got to leave it. Glenn Cook, always a pleasure, sir. If I could just draw you out, I just wish I could. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Jonathan, take a look. Another Social Security disability claim rejected.
And you're surprised?
Well, no, but come on. Anybody with eyes can see that this man can't possibly work.
We need to get this case before a judge. One with eyes. That's how you win.
Your Social Security disability is denied and delayed. But you have rights. At David Allen Associates, we make those rights work for you. Talk to the right people. I'm David Allen.
Why are people smiling all over the city of Reno? It's because they've discovered all of Absolute Dental's incredible savings for adults and kids, like free whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $999, and lots more. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable so you'll never have to put off taking care of your teeth again. Now that's something to smile about. Just go to any Absolute Dental location right now or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Warren Hardy is here, former state senator and principal with the Hardy Consulting Group, and former state senator Helen Foley, partner with Fess Foley. Warren, pleasure to have you both here. Senator Randolph Townsend was on the program last week, and he was talking about the mess at the end of a legislative session, and his idea was that we should have an assembly that goes to 4 years and a state senate term that goes to 6 years, and that that would go a long ways towards resolving some of these problems and getting people to be more educated, both on the process and on the issues.
Well, now that we have term limits, we do have a problem with institutional knowledge around that building. And at the end of the session, it was really terrible because they didn't know how to close the place down. I'm not sure that people are going to support 4-year and 6-year terms, but I do think that they need some more rules so that conference committees wrapping up can have that happen at least 24 to 48 hours before the end so that the unexpected can be taken care of.
But it seems to me that the average person doesn't even know how long the Senate and Assembly terms are.
Well, I know that just myself personally, looking at some of the mistakes we've made in the past in the U.S. Senate races and everything, 6 years is a heck of a long time to elect someone. But it's an interesting proposal. Maybe it would get some traction.
Warren?
Well, I mean, I think the real problem is term limits itself. I mean, the problem is we do not have time the way we used to mentor and bring new legislators along. I mean, it used to be you didn't even get a look at a committee chairmanship till you were 4, 5, 6 sessions into your career. Now you're expected to be a chairman in your second year, not term, year, as a senator, and sometimes in your first term. And so I don't know how we can expect that sort of institutional knowledge and experience to exist when we have that kind of a deal. In terms of the shutdown for the session, I mean, everyone I've been involved with since 1991 has been pretty hectic. I think the difference this time was the total number of highly critical, important bills. I was watching the process, and as we were doing the More Cops tax, which was the most important bill to Clark County, about 6 minutes before midnight, I think the Assembly realized that they hadn't appointed a conference committee on that yet. So at some level, there's some staff responsibility, too. So the difference is it's always tough to shut down a session, but I think this time we left a lot of big things on the table.
And were the changes in leadership at LCB partially responsible for this as well?
Certainly. I think there were so many new people there, and they worked their butts off, but it just wasn't managed well. And the legislators, I really like the team that is in a leadership position, and I think that next time they'll do a much better job. But there were major pieces of legislation that had to be called back for the special session. But also there were other bills that dealt with reciprocity for bringing in new medical professionals. That bill was worked on for 3 months, and it was left on the ground. It's terrible that so many great things died because they ran the clock out.
And I don't think the breakdown was global or systemic. I mean, I think Rick Coombs did a very good job with what he had to deal with this session, with the
Assemblyman Brooks' situation. Mm-hmm. I think it ran very, very smoothly. There was a minor problem, I think, at the end that created a big problem with the shutdown. I mean, it was probably as simple as we used to have a list. It was a priority bill list. And somebody was responsible for tracking everything and making sure the conference committees were done, making sure the conference committee reports were adopted, and that those things were on the general file in time. That seemed to be where the breakdown. So I think it was a minor breakdown. I wouldn't overblow it. It was a minor breakdown that had major consequences.
One of the things that's really strange, and I know I sound old saying this, but when you have a piece of paper in front of you and you can see everything that's still out there, it's a lot easier than having to rely on the internet, because sometimes we just lost things. You couldn't see when your bill was going to come up. If it didn't come up on the screen, you didn't have a hard copy. Those are easy to fix, though, and I'm sure that the Council Bureau will be working on it.
We'll have a brand new supply of pens and pads. George Harris was on the program the other day, and he was talking about that we should have a timeout for lobbyists, that they should be allowed to serve for a certain amount of time and then be forced to take a year off. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
Not at all.
Not to me.
Well, and that guy's Mr. Free Enterprise. What is he talking about? Telling us that we can't work.
I guess I understand his point. When you have term limits, you know, you lose the institutional knowledge from the legislature, and so it does give an advantage to the staff, it gives an advantage to the bureaucracy, and at some level it gives advantage to the lobbyists. But that's not an answer. I mean, that created additional chaos. I mean, both of us had the privilege of serving in the legislature. The lobbyists bring a value to the process. I mean, we forget who they are. I mean, everybody gets down on special interests, but if you belong to a church, you belong to a special interest. If you belong to the NRA, you're special. Special interests are the people, and so the lobbyists are the ones that bring that knowledge to the table and are a very valuable part of the process. So I think somebody to suggest that somebody is not really familiar with, and I love George, but not really familiar with any inner workings of the legislature.
Well, and I agree, just from the free enterprise part of that story. That's where we got to leave it. Will you guys stick around and do another show with us?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back on about a new. Newsmakers after this timeout.
These are the last few days of the great $2 million furniture sell-off retirement sale wrapping up at Ennis Fine Furniture of Reno. Today, not only will you find deep, deep discounts throughout, now you can take another 20% off many select items in our showroom. That's right, all in-stock furniture and oriental rugs, deeply discounted. We've got to move this stuff. Hurry in, you'll find even more discounts. These are the last few days of Ennis Fine Furniture's greatest sale ever.
At Les Schwab, along with great prices, our tires come with the kind of protection most other places just don't give you, which includes free flat repairs, equal value replacements, pre-trip safety checks, and more for the entire life of the tire. With the other guys, you just never know. So why is free protection on your tires a good thing?
Lifetime protection. That's our best tire value promise. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
How much do you think individual health insurance costs?
Dr. Andrews?
What if it costs less than you think?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you think the average doctor or ER visit costs? At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we offer a variety of coverage options at surprisingly affordable rates. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or simply can't get health insurance at work, find out about affordable choices from Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans are designed to help fit your individual healthcare needs and budget.
Hi, Jack.
So whether you want basic coverage for yourself or more coverage for your family, call us at 1-800-818-0163. Or visit us online at buyanthemnow.com. Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Call Anthem today. 1-800-818-0163.
On our next broadcast, the inimitable George Harris will join us. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching.